2023. Again, if you're visiting and like to give this morning, if Alex, could you get us the link up there? Again, thank you all for giving and looking forward to a great year for 2023 as we move forward. So let's pray for a moment. Lord, we just come again grateful. Lord, we thank you. This is just where I've been the last couple of weeks. The Lord's really been convicting me. How grateful are you? God, we're grateful this morning. And Lord, truth be told, there's probably all of us here have something that we're believing you for that hasn't happened yet. But Lord, we help us to look into those things that are coming with expectation and gratitude and faith and confidence and courage. Not frustration and why hasn't this happened yet and why isn't this working out and why is that working out? Lord, let us look back and see what you've done. Say, man, if you've done that, you're going to do this. So, Lord, as we examine for a few weeks here, some theme for 2023 and really a theme of the kingdom of God, help us to have hearts that are open, that receive the power of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So, guys, I want to talk a little bit just to kind of recap 2022. I don't plan on being really long this morning, but just was looking back in some of my sermon notes into January last year and what we were talking about, where the Lord had us. And if you guys remember this, we're in a little series called Walking Through the Fire. You guys remember that? Kind of finished up 2021 and into 2022, talking about walking through the fire. And what we were talking about right in January last year, we spent a few weeks looking at the story of Nehemiah and specifically focusing on that the wall in the book of Nehemiah gets halfway built, right? And if we remember that story, the enemy has got lots of plans to keep Nehemiah and the people of God from even starting the wall. But they overcome that, and they start rebuilding this wall. They gather, and they get it all together. It talks about burnt stones in there. Oh, the great, such a great story. And they get it halfway done. It's almost like the enemy kind of disappears for a little while. And all of a sudden, the enemy shows up and sees, like, wait a second, this wall's half built. What? I can't believe these guys have done anything. We thought we had them so discouraged that they wouldn't even have started this project from the Lord. But at halfway, the enemy regroups, and they retool, and they said, man, we gotta think of a new strategy here to try to, we know the wall's halfway built, but we want to try to keep them from finishing the wall. Amen? And that was what we talked about to start last year. Let's finish the wall. And as I was looking through those notes the other day, I said, I really felt the Spirit of the Lord said to me, I think we still need to talk about that. We're not going to talk about it in depth today, but we need, the wall's not done, church. Can I get an amen? Right? And if we think about this, you know, half, what good's a half-built wall? Right? Think about it personally in your life. How many people have seen progress in your life as you walk with the Lord? Right? You've overcome some things. You've seen God come through, miracles, provision, all kinds of stuff. But then you look at other areas and you're like, oh, man. Right? You know what the enemy's done? He failed in preventing you from saying yes to Jesus. He failed in preventing you from coming to church and maybe tithing and serving a little bit or prayer. Whatever you do, whatever we've done here, all of us have come through that initial tactic of the enemy, right, to keep us away from the Lord. But then the enemy, just like in the days of Nehemiah, is going to regroup and say, all right, now that I can't, that they've started, I can't stop them from starting. But now I'm going to try to keep them at the halfway mark. I don't know about you, I've never built a boat, but if you built a boat halfway, it's probably not going to keep the water out for very long. Isn't that true? The only thing that are good half-baked, we had brownies last night. They're good half-baked. Amen. So I've been looking at this, church, about finishing the wall, and then we talked about, very early in the year last year, we saw the movie clips from Hacksaw Ridge. About the Lord his prayer there, Lord, give me one more. And we're going to stay in that, church. I didn't forget about that. We're going to re-up that. But a few weeks ago when Olga was with us from IHOP, I realized something. I realize a lot of things when Olga comes. Anybody else? Man, but when I realized, you know, she gave us all these stories about, you know, these incredible encounters evangelizing. Like I just, the Chippendale guy. Yo, what? Right? She said, if you know, those of you who are visiting IHOP, International House of Prayer, not the pancake joint, we have a good friend that is on staff there, and she comes once a year here and shares with us. But she's giving us all these testimonies, right, about in this airport and then that airport and then this restaurant and just these encounters of being brave enough to talk to somebody and share her testimony. But if you think about it, church, you know what all that is birthed out of? Is birthed out of time spent in prayer. It's all birthed out of time spent in prayer. And let's be real, I'm raising my hand. How many people feel like you don't got much time to pray? Come on. Let's just be real. We're getting real with Jesus now. Come on. You know what? Here's what hits me, that the enemy comes at me. He's like, yeah, you get paid to do that. Right? But church, let's face it, whether it's kids or careers or spouses or we got houses to take care of. I mean, culture is just hitting us harder and harder and harder, busier and busier and busier. And let's be real, then the first, one of two things is the first thing to slip is either reading my Bible or prayer. Is that true? Right? What are the two most important things as followers of Jesus that we should be doing? Reading our Bibles and praying. So, of course, that's what the enemy is going to go after. And if he showed up at the front door, you heard a ding-dong from the doorbell, and he was standing there in a red jumpsuit with horns and a pitchfork, and he goes, you should stop praying, Kevin. You'd hit him with a frying pan. But here's how the enemy comes in, my beloved. Oh, it's all right. The Lord understands. You've been real busy. It's all right. You had a tough week. Tired. Church, I got 15 kids. I'm tired all the time. If you're visiting, I don't have 15. 12. Dude. Can I get amen, church? Some of you are a little bit of a certain vintage and maybe not have as much energy as you once did. And you're tired. Is that all right? Tell you what, distraction. I saw a preacher, this guy, Dr. Keenan Bridges. Anybody know that guy? Yes. Yeah, pretty good dude. He was on the other day, and he said, there's three things. The Lord said, here's the three warnings for 2023. Distraction. Anybody get an alert on their phone once a week that says how many hours you've been staring at the screen every day?
Yes. I turned it off.
He turned it off over here. He doesn't like the conviction of the Holy Ghost, apparently. Come on, church. Now, again, I read my Bible on my phone. That doesn't mean we're all that time is necessarily wasted, right? But come on, the Lord's really been convicting me. What are you doing, man? Come on, we ain't sinning. We're not sinning, church. But the Bible says to redeem the time because the days are evil. One preacher I used to listen to used to say, if you look at somebody's checkbook, you can tell what matters. And I say, you know, that's probably solid, but I'm going to take it up a notch and say, look at how somebody spends their time, and that tells you what matters. Because I can make more money. Can't make more time. I spend 10 minutes doing something, that's 10 minutes that I will never get back. Is that good, church? Am I saying we shouldn't watch TV or we shouldn't have fun? Obviously not. But as I was listening to even to the Lord through Pastor Al this morning, I started just really thinking about, like, you know, I grew up in church and it was real strict. Not this church, but the church I came out was super strict, man. We're at church 6 days a week. Six, one over here. Yep. Right? We're at church 6 days a week, man. And it's like sometimes we think, well, gosh, that was wrong. I don't know. Anybody grew up going to church 6 days a week? See, what the problem is we come out of that and we say, that's not doing that anymore. And then we're at church six times a month. I think we got to bring it back into the middle somewhere, church, right? Get that, get it back in there into the middle somewhere. Amen? Is this all right? Just sharing my heart. Prayer. We're going to talk about prayer a little bit this morning. Got one passage of scripture here, but let me just share a couple of thoughts as I've been pondering these last couple of weeks. Similar to what Pastor, this is all in my notes right here. In this church, 33 years coming up this May. 33 years we've been here, and we've seen all kinds of stuff. All kinds of seasons. We've seen some real good seasons. Is that right? We've seen some real tough seasons. We've seen some ups and downs. We've seen legitimate miracles. We've seen breakthroughs. We've seen breakups. We've seen abounding. We've seen abasing. But church, the bottom line is we're still here. Is that right? God has been faithful. He's made the money come in that we've needed to come in. He's sent people. People have come and gone. More people come, more people go. And I just say, okay, God, we're still here. But where I'm at it right now, church, in my spirit, man, is like, I don't want to be right here a year from now. I don't want to be right here personally a year from now. I don't want to look at and say, man, there's another year gone, and nothing really changed all that much. Can I get an amen? Because you know what's going to happen is then 5 years later, you're going to be like, wow, 5 years is gone, nothing really changed all that much. We'll be going like, wow, man, we're still here. And that's a good testimony because there's lots of churches that were around last year in this country that are not around right now. That's true. So it's a good thing that we're still here. We're still standing. We're still preaching the word of God. We're still serving. It's all amen. But there has been dozens and dozens of prophecies over this house, over my life personally, over many of you, that it's like, I don't want to be 20 years from now going like, ah, maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. I don't want to be that. Anybody else? But here's what I was reminded of. I have this in stacks of journals in my office, stacks of them. Some of you have seen some of my journals. But I can tell you, church, I'm going to say 15 times solid, 15 times maybe more. This is what the Lord writes. I have pages of stuff. And this is what he'll say to me at the end of it. If you think that any of this will come to pass without prayer, you're a fool. You're a fool. Wow. Does the Lord talk like that? Yeah, read the book of Proverbs. Lots of stuff in there about a foolish man. Can I get an amen? So for 2023, my beloved, I want to commission us to pray. You're like, oh, Pastor, I do pray. Okay, I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying let's ramp it up. Right? We've got many ministries online. Dutch Sheets, what is it, 15 minutes every day? Give the Lord 15 minutes. Right? Whatever we're at, some of us pray and pray and pray, but I'm saying there's a lot of, the scripture we're going to look at in a few minutes here, church, there's actually like, I realized I was studying it, there's like three different angles to prayer in just this one passage of scripture. There's all kinds of different ways to pray. There's different reasons to pray. There's different things to pray about. There's different ways to pray. And so it's not, when I say let's pray more, it's not just like, oh, I'm going to add 10 minutes into my prayer closet time. Praise God. Because we heard Pastor Jim, who was here, what did he say? If you guys remember this, right? We've taught in the church that a solid prayer life is the goal. And he says, that's wrong. Abiding in Christ is the goal. If you abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, then you can ask whatever you want and I'll do it for you. Because whatever we ask is being filtered and shaped by the word of God that's abiding in us. The word of God is eating up all the selfish junk that I want, all the self-serving things, all the fleshly garbage that I want as a human being. The word of God and the Holy Spirit's burning that stuff up. So what I do ask is according to the kingdom of God. It's to benefit others. It's to benefit the church, the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters. Can I get amen? Church, I'm telling you, some of the prophecies over this church, I don't know if somebody thinks this, but this came to me as I was studying this. Because I used to think this stuff, right? Oh, well, if the church really goes, takes off, well, then it's how's it going to benefit me? Amen. See a couple nodding heads back there. Right? Oh, it's just going to benefit the leadership or the pastor. Or that's not true. If the church gets stronger and you're part of the church, that means you get stronger. Is that right? Because we're called the body. Is that true? If I do something that's good for my whole body benefits from it, not just part of it. Amen? So prayer, very deep topic, church, but I said this a couple Sundays ago. The only thing that Jesus asked, that the disciples asked Jesus how to do is what?
Pray.
That's it. Now, if I was a disciple, he'd have been like, all right, go cast demons out of people. I'd have been like, how do we do that? They don't ask him. They just go do it. Is that true? Right? Hey, go lay hands on sick people. How do we do that, Lord? No, they just go do it. It's prayer where they say, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Wow. So if the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, I think we need to ask him the same thing. Is that true? So over these next few weeks, church, we're gonna go after some things that I am convinced have been taught wrong, or I say wrong innocently, right, with very good intention, but that have been taught wrong, and have produced either discouragement. Anybody ever heard teaching on prayer and you left discouraged? For sure. And if you read a book about prayer, put the book down, you're like, oh man, I'm in trouble. Yep. Come on, church. I don't want to do that. The Lord doesn't want that. Right? Prayer is hands down the most important thing that a Christian can do. Hands down. Should have got one amen out of that. At least from the prayer leader over there. Come on, bro. Help me out here, man. I need you to stand on a seat and start cheering me on or something, man. Come on. Direct traffic. Direct traffic at the airport. All right. Come on, man. Don't get heavy on me, church. We're not getting heavy, right? Let me say this to you. This, Lord, as I was typing this Friday morning, this is what hit me. Boom, as I'm literally typing, Holy Spirit said this to me. In prayer, he said, I respond to faith, not form. I respond to faith, not form. I've heard in this church, well, Pastor, I don't pray like so-and-so. Good. Praise God. Can I get amen? We get, here's one thing. I'm just going to give one example. I remember years ago we had some folks praying here early in the morning. Wonderful people. Love Jesus. Praise God. But I came and prayed with these folks one morning. I had a hoodie on. And I had my hands in my hoodie. We're praying. I have my eyes closed. We're praying. We're going to town, man. We're going to town. Spiritual warfare. And I'm standing there, and I'm in tongues, and I'm going for it. And I feel a tap on my shoulder, and a whisper in my ear says, you can't pray with your hands in your pockets. At that point, praise God, I was grown enough where that did not offend me. But I just remember thinking I didn't do nothing. I just kept my hands right in my pockets and kept right on praying in tongues. Because I'm like, the Spirit of God does not care where my hands are as long as I'm keeping them to myself when I'm praying. Unless I'm laying hands on Kevin, because he needs it. But church, you understand what I'm saying? We've got books out. Oh, can't you pray 1 hour? God wrote a book, whole book up praying 1 hour. So you know what that did? Great intention, right? That straight from the garden. I told you I was going to give you one example. Here's number two, all right? Jesus in the garden, can't you wait and pray for 1 hour, right? Jesus says that. This guy, I forget who it was, guy wrote a book about it. The book went bananas. Great intention. What's he trying to do? Encourage people to pray for an hour every day. Should we pray for an hour every day? Probably. Probably. But the bottom line is, we either had folks setting a little egg timer, because they had no iPhones back then. You set a little egg timer. Remember those things? The white ones, and you turn them. Baking coffee cakes back in the day. Bing at the top. And as soon as, bing, praise God, done. Got my hour. Praise the Lord. See you tomorrow, Lord. Or you had people, they sit down to pray. They get 3 minutes in. They're like, okay, I'm done. 57 minutes left. What do I do now? And here comes condemnation and guilt and shame because I can't pray good enough. Great intention, very poor results. Is that true, church? God responds to faith, not form. It's powerful. Think about that. He responds to faith, not form. So we think about this just for a few moments, almost done here. Honestly. Kevin, shh. Faith in the Bible, church, is from the root. It is birthed out of the word that means what? Confidence, right? So faith means confidence. That's the root word in the Greek. That's true. If you're visiting with us, if you go look that up, that's true. Faith is not this spooky, weird thing, shake and praise God. If that happens, praise God. It's happened to me. It's happened to many people. But faith, when the rubber hits the road, faith is, I am confident that God said this, and I'm standing on it no matter what happens. That's faith. Is that true? So if God responds to faith, not form, then I'm saying he's responding to prayer that is prayed from a place of confidence. And that doesn't mean that you've got to yell and shout. If you yell and shout, praise God. But you know what? I've seen folks that yell and shout in prayer that ain't got no confidence in God. Amen. Come on, church. Right? It's a show. I want to see someone who's going to pray and stand on what they're praying no matter what. And that's what God's looking for. A prayer of confidence, church, could be a prayer that not a word comes out of your mouth. Tears streaming down your face. You don't know what to pray. You don't know what to do. This is why praying in tongues is so important. We'll talk about that at some point, right? You don't know how to pray like you should, but the Spirit of God will pray within you through groanings and utterances which you don't understand. I have prayed at times. I don't know what to say. I'm so upset. I'm so broken. I'm so angry. I don't know what's going on. And you pray in the Spirit of God is praying inside of you. Amen. I heard something recently that somebody said, wow, the New Age movement prays in tongues. Just because they're trying to steal it doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Yes. And please hear me. I'm not talking about the gift of tongues. Well, when we hit it, I'll teach it. We messed that up in the church. There's prophetic tongues this way, which have to be interpreted. It says people get that gift. But prayer tongues, everybody is supposed to have that. Because he who prays in tongues strengthens himself. My goodness, if we need to be strong, it needs to be today. Is that right? Is this all right, church? So, think about this. God responds to faith, not form. Confidence, not form, right? Confidence, I'm going to touch on this in just a minute. Don't hide under a rock yet, all right? So think about this. When the disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray, what's he say? When you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, that right? So does God respond to faith or form? Right? Does Jesus say, when you pray, pray this? Or does he say, pray like this? Like this. We'll examine the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer, in a few weeks and take it apart. There is pieces of that prayer that's what Jesus is saying. Here is how to build prayer. It starts by looking to the Father, right? In Bible school, when I learned, he says, most folks pray through their problem towards God. And what they do is they make their problem big and they make God small. They're filtering how they see God through their problem rather than praying to God and looking at their problem through the eyes of God. So we either pray making the Father big and the Father powerful and the Father sovereign and the Father good and kind and the problem small, or we pray and make the problem real big and we make God real small. How many people think making God big is better? Yeah, probably a better idea. So this is, you understand, church, that the disciples' prayer is a model of how to build a healthy prayer life. Is that true? Here's our passage for the day, James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Let me ask you a question while you turn in there. Is there a certain time of day we should pray?
No.
Thank you. Is there a certain place you should pray?
No.
No. Thank you. If you feel pressed in your heart to build a little spot in your house where you go and pray, should you do that? Yeah. Absolutely, right? It's responding to the Spirit of God, right? I know some people run our church, have a little prayer area in their home. They stick scriptures up on the wall and various things. Praise God. I ain't got no room in my house for that. Dude, and my kids sleep for like 3 hours a day. I don't know how they're still alive. Little ones, man, don't matter. Dude, crazy. Prayer, my beloved, is about a relationship. It's organic. It's organic. Pray without ceasing. That means we're supposed to go live up on a mountain like a monk. No, absolutely not. That's religion. Prayer is organic. It's relationship, right? James 5, look at this. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering, then he should call the pastor for prayer. I mean, you guys can call me. It's fine. But look what James says. Then anybody suffer in 2022 from anything? Yeah, come on. Look what James says. James is a half-brother of Jesus, right? Pray. Right? Well, pastor, I prayed. It didn't work. Well, dude, if you go to the gym one time, you're not going to get stronger. Is that right? If you eat healthy for one day on New Year's Day, and then start eating Twinkies again tomorrow, he must pray. It's a continual verb right there. Keep praying, right? Is anyone cheerful? He's to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Now, I found this really fascinating, church. The word for sick here in the Greek means sick, but the first translation of this word means weary. Weary. Not just, oh, I got a stuffy nose or what have you. Can I get amen? Now, those of you again visiting with us, we've had folks, just had us some good friends. Is it 2 years ago with the Cobbs, with Lenita? Was it 2 years back? Lady in our church diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer. Doctor said, you're going to die. We prayed for her on a Sunday morning, and she was healed. All in her uterus, they said there was cancer on her lungs. They went for the lung biopsy. This is Yendo Haven, by the way, not Bristol Hospital. Forgive me if you work at Bristol Hospital. All right. I wouldn't send my cat over there. All right. For real. Lord, bless Bristol Hospital. I'm so sorry. But if he ever sees this, please forgive me for saying that. This was Yendo Haven, like the experts. Yendo Haven, her lungs, this lady's lungs, full of cancer. Stage 4. So she goes in for the lungs the first time, calls me on Tuesday, crying. Strong, powerful lady, man. She says, you're not going to believe this, but they said there's no cancer in my lungs. I started laughing. I said, I believe that. I said, what'd they say, though? Because you know they're not just going to say, oh, Jesus must have done something. Obviously, they're not going to say that. She says, oh, they said that the images must have shown some inflammation. All right. Inflammation, bro. Okay. So then 2 weeks later, she went in because it was all in her uterus and all that was where they found that they said there was a tumor, cancerous tumor the size of a baby's head, you know, in her uterus area. Lady's in her 60s. So they went in for that one. 2 weeks later, she called me again, crying on the phone. I said, what happened? She says, well, they found the tumor, but it was just fatty tissue, no cancer. And she says, they found one tiny little speck on my, some part down there, I don't know what it's called, that was, they said, maybe was cancer. And so she says, just take it out. I don't need that stuff anyway. Praise God. Right? But there's from, you know, stage 4, you're going to die. We took an entire church service, laid hands on her, anointed her with oil, which we're going to see in just a moment, declared, not form, faith. Who cares how it happened? We had folks praying in tongues. We had folks praying in English. We had folks knocking around. Nobody knocked around the floor. But you know what I'm saying, church, right? We've all seen Todd Bentley. Watch some old Todd Bentley videos, man. Watch some Smith Wiggles videos. There were no videos back then. Read some Smith Wigglesworth stories. He knocked people on the ground. And they'd get up, and there's a tumor laying on the platform. Boom! Dude. Crazy stuff, man. Todd Bentley, same thing. Todd Bentley kicked some lady right in the face. She had a tumor on the side of her face. Kicked her in the face with a boot. She went down, got up. The tumor's laying on the platform. Healed. Todd Bentley's nuts, by the way. All right? Please don't follow that guy for theological advice. All right, he's a disaster. But God was powerfully using this guy with healing ministry. He didn't have enough character to sustain the anointing on his life. That's a whole nother sermon some other time. Look at this, church. Is anyone among you sick? Let's be real. Anybody feel a little weary? Come on, church. You don't got to go out there in the world too long to start feeling a little bit weary. Talking again with this good friend, firefighter, the other day, he says, Pastor, I just don't understand. I don't understand how you have so much faith looking at what's going on out there. I was like, well, I maybe don't have as much as you think I do, my brother. Because it's hard to look at what's going on out there and not have it start playing with your mind. Like, where is God? Amen. But he's right where he's always been, church. Amen. Anyone among you sick, then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in form. Make sure you say the right words. Make sure you pray just long enough. It's got to be a certain length, obviously, or it's not going to do anything. Got to have the right decibel level. The prayer offered in. Everybody say faith. Look at the promise, church. will restore the one who is sick. Let's keep reading. Say and. And the Lord will raise him up. And then the last phrase in this verse is so fascinating to me, isn't it? And if he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. But then you got to look at the next verse. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. I think James is kind of jumbling that up a little bit, right? I think what's going on here, I had this in my notes. I took it out of my notes. I'm putting it back in my notes spontaneously here. Sometimes, let's face it, church. I've met Christians that think when they see other Christians that are sick or weary, this is what they say. Oh, my brother, you must have sinned. You must have done something wrong. That's why your life is like this. Your life is messed up because you obviously are doing something wrong before the Lord. My Bible says here, if he's committed any sin. Right? Jesus meets a blind man on the road. What do the disciples say? Lord, who sinned, him or his parents, that put him in this position of blindness? Jesus answers, neither, but that the kingdom of God may be manifest and restores his sight. Is that true? Two more things here, church. Five more things, maybe. I don't know. Almost done, for real. Listen to this. I want to encourage you, because what happens, anybody ever pray for someone who's sick and nothing happened? Yep. How many people got discouraged after that? Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Right? You're like, man, especially if you feel something, right? You lay hands on somebody and you're praying and you feel it, right? You feel the goosebumps. They get hot under your hand, right? And you're like, I'm assuming something's going on, right? He's not sweating everywhere. He's just hot right here where my hand is, man. There's something going on. And then you're all done in Jesus' name and nothing happens. But look at the wording here from the Apostle James. Look what he says. The prayer offered in faith, so the only requirement on that prayer is that it's offered in faith, right? Restore the one who's sick. And the Lord will, say this together, church, raise him up. The wording in the Greek here, neither one of those words are an instantaneous word. Neither one of them. Are there people that we can lay hands on, boom, they get healed, pow, instantly? For sure. I've seen it in this church. Is that right? But you know what? Other people, including people that Jesus himself prayed for, recovered, the Bible will talk about, recovered, denoting a period of time. They got well. Is that true? Epaphroditus is one of Paul's closest friends in his writings, and he talks about Epaphroditus being sick almost to the point of death, yet God had mercy on him. He recovered. Is that true? My responsibility, church, your responsibility, as we pray for people, the outcome is not on me. The outcome is God's responsibility. Is that true? So I pray in faith. Faith, my beloved, is not just saying what you think you should say, but faith, last little point here on faith, needs to be in alignment with the scriptures. You know what? Here's a tough one for me. When someone is advanced in their years and not doing well, oh, pastor, pray that God's going to heal them. I don't know if that's what we should pray, because we're all going to leave the earth. Is that true? Sometimes it's a little tough. Oh, pastor, please pray for this. I go, you know, I'll pray about that. I'll pray about that. But maybe the Lord's going to give me a different direction to pray for that than what you want me to pray for. Is that true? Because you know what? As we just looked at, some people do have things wrong in their lives specifically because they are not living properly. Jesus healed one man, And then he says to this man, now go your way and sin no more, and lest something worse comes upon you. Jesus said that. The woman caught in adultery. Where is everybody who condemns you? She said, they're all gone. Well, neither do I condemn you. Now stop sinning. Oh, hey, man. Wow. Don't worry about it. Live however you want to. It's fine. Jesus loves you. Nah, that's not what he said. I forgive you. Now get your life straightened out. We're talking a lot in the church today in America about God forgiving you. We don't talk nothing about getting your life straightened out. Get your life straightened. God is not going to use you if you don't get your life straightened out. He ain't going to do it. You'll get a little tickle every once in a while because you just got to do something. But that's like what he did with the donkey and the prophet Balaam. The only living thing right around here that I can get a hold of this prophet's attention is this donkey. So I'll talk to the donkey for a couple minutes. Is this right, church? My beloved, we will never, this church will never get where God wants it to go unless we decide to get our lives straight with the Lord. And I'm not talking just about sinning. My gosh, we can overcome sin and still be doing stupid stuff and wasting time. Is that true? Let's stand up, closing right here. I'm going to leave you with just an encouragement here. And then what I want to do, we're a little early, so praise the Lord. I actually want to take a few minutes, and I want to break up into groups here, being January 1st, because we're talking about prayer, right? And even our new folks there, I hope you guys will do this with us. Thank you so much for staying with us and being here this morning. I want to just get in groups of like 3 or 4 people, and I want to just pray over one another and just bless people on January 1st. Speak life into them for 2023. Amen? So look at church. Two things here. Please stop disqualifying your prayer or your prayer life because you don't pray like somebody else. God doesn't hear someone because they pray louder, longer, quote more scripture, articulate it well, or anything else. That's all stuff I said earlier, we'll explore that probably is important, but it's like down the list somewhere, right? We should grow and we should mature and our prayer life should increase. Can I get amen, right? As we grow in the Lord, we should get a better understanding of prayer. We should be more confident as we pray. But like anything else that we grow at in life, we got to start somewhere and trip all over ourselves for a little while until we figure it out. And then there's we do stuff all the time now that we don't even think about doing because it's just automatic, right? How many people think about tying your shoes? No, you just sit down and do it. But when you were 4, make the rabbit, goes around the tree, right? Well, however that thing goes, right? It took a year to learn how to tie your shoes. Is that true? Last thought in closing. Let's close our eyes. I want you to picture something in your mind right now. Most of us here are either parents or grandparents. We got kids, or some of us have some grandkids. If you're right in that stage where you don't quite have grandkids yet, you might have to think a little bit more about this one. But when your kids or your grandkids were real little and they run to you, do you care how they're talking? I'm talking real little. Do you care how they're talking? Or are you just excited that they're talking to you? You're excited that they're running to you. Whether it's to show me the same thing for the 400th time in the last 9 minutes. Dad, watch this. Like, that's the same thing I just watched again. Or they're coming to you because they fell down and skinned their knee, or whatever the problem is, right? Whether they want to rejoice with you, they want to show you something, they want to be comforted. You don't care how they come. You don't care what they say. You don't care if they're crying, if they're laughing, if they say please or thank you. You don't care about any of that stuff. You're excited that they're coming. comforting my littlest one now. It's, I pick her up. She cries for 2 minutes. Then she's like, okay, I'm better. And she runs away. Like, yeah, but I want to comfort you more, though. To think about this as we pray this week. We're coming to our Father. He's excited that you're coming. Whether you come and you feel nothing, you pray for 2 minutes, you pray for 10 minutes, you pray for an hour, you cry, you laugh. Forget all that right now. It's about coming. Saying, Father, I'm here. I'm here to spend time with you. I'm here to listen. I'm here to talk to you. Whether it's in the morning, the end of your day, lunch break, on your drive home, who cares? We're starting with basics here, church. Amen. Just talk to him. So Lord, we ask God this week as we take a few more extra minutes, Lord, maybe get up a little earlier, maybe turn the TV off. Come on, every TV show we got now, we can watch it on Netflix or something. Not like when I was a kid, you missed an episode, that's it, it was gone forever. God, help us to turn the TVs off. Get off Facebook, get off of Instagram, all these things, there's so much distraction. Lord, wherever we are, if we're hardly praying at all, help us to just do 20 minutes, 10 minutes, something. If we've got a pretty good thing going, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, help us to give it a little bit more. Listen better. Whatever it is, God, I ask that wherever we are right now, help us to go up a little bit. Because, Lord, you said if we seek you, we'll find you. You're not far from any one of us. You're not far from any one of us. Church, I'll leave you with this. Every thought, anytime you have a thought of like, I don't feel like praying. I don't have time to pray. That's never from the Holy Spirit. Never. Every time you feel a little tinge to pray, see a picture of somebody's face in your mind, whatever it is, pray right there. It's a 1 minute prayer right there in faith. God, I just lift this person to you right now. I don't know what I'm praying about. I don't know what I'm doing, but I lift this person to you right now. In Jesus' name, keep them, protect them, bless them. Whatever you feel in your heart. Amen, church. God, give us hearts to respond. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. So guys, again, let's take just a few minutes. Don't need to drag it out, but grab a couple neighbors if you're willing to do that. And just bless them. Ask them if they're believing God for something for this year. Keep it simple. Keep it, right? Don't preach at them. But just if they're believing God for something, if they need prayer for something, just take a few minutes. Let's start 2023 praying for one another. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you so much. Facebook and YouTube. Man, blessings on you guys. In Jesus' name. Amen.